It's great to be back with you. I was on vacation. I celebrated my 25th anniversary with my amazing wife, Tracy. And so we were out of town, and I'll tell you what, when you miss, you feel it. And I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back to be a part of worship and to be a part of the Word and to be a part of what God wants to do and how God wants to move today. We had a great first service, and I think it's going to continue in this service. I believe that God has been doing something in our series with David, and today I want to share a word that I entitled Settle No More. Settle No More, because a lot of times in life we settle. We settle for what's happening. We settle for whatever's going on. But we settle, and the reality is God has greater things for us. And unless it's what God has given us, unless it's what God has planned for us, unless it's what God has been taking us to and getting us to a certain area, don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life. Say, settle no more. Okay, 90% of you are settlers. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We have to become like that. I will not settle, God, for anything less than what you have for me. I said the first service, any young people about to get married, don't just settle. Any middle-aged people about to get married, anyone in their older stages of life about to get married, don't settle just for anybody. Settle for the best that God wants to give you. Amen? Don't settle for a job just because it's the first one offered to you. You may have to take it, but that doesn't mean you have to stay there because God can open a door that will propel you to advancement. So don't settle for just anything. Amen? Don't settle to sit back and say, God, I've been praying and nothing's come to pass yet. Don't settle and stay there. Say, God, I won't stop praying. I won't stop fasting. I won't stop reading until, God, your best is released into my life. Amen? Y'all quiet today. I've been gone. I'm rip-raring ready to go today. I've been out of the poll. I'm ready to go. When you settle, you live here. When you settle, that's where we live. That's where we eat out of. That's where our relationships come from. That's where God does not want you and I. He wants us here. Now, I couldn't fit the table that I wanted on here. I wanted to put a giant banqueting table with beautiful china and candelabras and water chalices because what God has for you and I is a table in his palace, a table that we would sit right next to him at, and this is where God wants you and I to be. He does not want us eating out of this. He doesn't want us hovering over this. When we settle, we attach this to us. We take it with us wherever we go. Our relationships come out of it. Everything we do when we settle. Settle no more. And the way that we will not settle anymore is through covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Because in covenant with Jesus Christ is attached blessings, is attached love, and mercy, and grace, and advancement. See, it's in that covenant relationship with Jesus that we're moved from there to here. Settle no more. Settle no more. But if you don't believe it, we'll stay right here. If we don't believe, we'll stay here. Because we'll begin to think that, well, this is my best. This is where God wants me to be, hurting and lonely, depressed, oppressed, broke, unhappy, miserable with my mate, can't stand my kids. We'll settle because that's what our thinking takes us to because the devil wants to play tricks on the mind. You're not good enough to be at the table. You're not good enough to sit at the banquet table. Now, settle no more. Make today a day that you say to yourself that I will not settle for anything less than what God has for us. I'm going to talk to you today about covenant. I'm going to show you a great example of what covenant does when we're part of covenant. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Still talking about David, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a field. I want to live in the palace. And we're progressively walking you from the field to the palace. Now, we understand that in the field is a time of preparation, time of growth, a time of honing our skills like we saw with David. But we don't camp and we don't always live in the field. We get to the palace. For four verses in this chapter. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2 says, Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. They made a pact, an agreement. They came into a relationship that was binding, an agreement, a determination, a will that was set between two individuals. They made this pact that day because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David, and then his armor, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. See, when you read in the book of Samuel, in the 20th verse, David and Jonathan kind of talk about that covenant that was being made. He says, don't forget me and don't forget my family, David, whether here or whether gone. Don't forget that pact, that covenant we made. And I want to jump ahead years, because a few years ahead, beyond this conversation, because Jonathan and Saul are dead, David has become king. And this is what happens. 2 Samuel, verse 9. It says, David said, is there anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? What he's saying is, there anyone left in the house of my best friend, my soul brother, that I can release the blessing, can release those things that are attached to the covenant that I made with that man after the battle of David, that when I slew Goliath? Is there anyone that I can release the love that needs to and take care of that person because of the covenant that we made? And there was a servant whose name was Ziba, who said that there is someone. He has a son. And his son's name is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, he says, is lame. And he's crippled from the legs, because as a boy in the escaping, when the armies came in and killed Saul and Jonathan, the handmaiden, the one who cared for him as a child, went to take him, and they fell and they stumbled and she landed on him, it says, and he had messed up his legs. And he says, and he's living in this town called Lodabar. This is Lodabar right here. This is lonely. This is oppressive. This is obscurity. This is a place full of disappointment. This is a place of apathy. This is a place of bitterness. This is Lodabar. This is a place of rejection. This is Lodabar. This is where the prince's son, the king's grandson, now lives here in Lodabar. Not at the table, but right here. But what I love about this is, because of covenant, David says, I have to find if there's anyone left in the lineage to bring them from there to here. Do you see some symbolism here today? See, because God says, listen, my covenant, I want to bring people out of here and into where they're supposed to be. And he says, go bring Mephibosheth to me. And they bring Mephibosheth to me. Mephibosheth is cringing and shaking and fearful, it says. And he says, are you Mephibosheth? And he says, I am your servant. And he says, I want to bless you. I want you to sit at the table. I made covenant with your daddy, and I want to fulfill that covenant. I want to bring you from the place you were to to the place that is rightfully yours. And the Bible says, then Mephibosheth says this, and how many times have we done this? What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? God, who am I that you would want to leave, take me from here? God, who am I that you would take me there? Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for today. I thank you for what you have in store. Father, continue to soften our hearts this morning that we would truly allow you to touch us. Soften our minds today. Let us not have any preconceived notions. Let us not come in with any set ideas of what is and what isn't. But let us be open to receive the revelation knowledge that you would speak to us today through the moving of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jonathan and David strike this covenant relationship on the field that day. The Bible says that their souls were knitted together, meaning chained, and they became one. Many people would like to try to misconstrue and twist and take this beyond just a brotherly relationship that is very close, and that's not true. And so what I love about their relationship is that their relationship and friendship was based off of their love and commitment to God. When you study it out and you look at it, it talks about it all over the place. And then for each other. They both had hearts that were beating and searching and longing after the things of God, to do the things of God, to live the way God would want them to live. And they would let nothing come in between that friendship, between that bond, between that relationship. To the point even that day, Jonathan removes his robe and his weaponry. Now, understand this. When he removed the robe represents positioning. As the prince, he removes the robe and he wraps David and gives it to David. See, he sees something in David. Because being surrendered to the Father, I believe God was showing him what was happening, what was about to happen. He slew Goliath. He sees the writing on the wall. And he's okay with it because it's all about God anyways. It's not about me and me being promoted and me going to new levels. It's about what God wants and what God is desiring for us to be and where he wants to take us to different places. But it's about God. And Jonathan sees that. And he gives him the armor, which symbolizes the provision and protection. And Jesus does the same thing for you and I. He cloaks us. God does the same thing by cloaking us with the blood of Christ, by surrounding us and engulfing us with the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He takes us to a new position, if we can say that. Right? Do you see what I'm saying here? It's because of Jesus that we no longer have to live life in Lodabar, but he covers us and he pulls us out and he takes us to a new position, to a new place, and that's in the presence of the Almighty God. And then he gives us the weapons that are needed, the provision needed for everyday life, whether we're moms or dads, whether we're business people, whether we're blue collar or white collar. He gives us the provision, but he also gives us the spiritual provision to move forward. He gives us the spiritual word of God. He gives us the ability to pray and fast. He provides those things necessary for continual advancement in life. If we're not advancing, we're most likely settling. God doesn't want settlers. He wants advancement. He wants you to grow every day more in him. He wants you to grow in your worship. He wants you to grow in your prayer. He wants you to grow in your relationships. He wants you to grow at your workplace. He wants you to grow in the church. He wants you to grow at 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 church. He wants you to grow in worship. He wants you to grow in the disciplines that are called to us and given to us as believers. If we're not growing, we're settling, I believe. That's just me. We're settling. Well, I prayed for a minute today. I read the verse of the day when it got sent to my phone. We're settling. God's like, no, I got so much more for you. I got so much for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your community, for your family members when you're with them. I got so much for you. And see, Jonathan and David, they strike this covenant up. Understand, covenant and the covenant that God has given us through Jesus Christ is based off of love. The foundation of covenant, what's rooted in covenant with Jesus, is love. It's unconditional agape love. The covenant that David and Jonathan formed was based off of a love for God and a love for one another. And so when David secures the borders and secures the kingdom, after he does that, when he becomes king, the next thing he does is he stands and says, is there anyone in the house of Saul and Jonathan still alive that I may fulfill the covenant that I made with Jonathan? He asks that question. Find out for me if there's that. Because of the love that was based on the covenant made with him and Jonathan, he begins to enact. He begins to search out those that would benefit from the covenant that they struck. And Jonathan is dead, and David still honors the covenant. He could have said, you know what? He'll never know. He'll never know if I find somebody and fulfill the covenant that I promised him. How's he going to know? He's not around. He can't, like, tweet me. He can't send me an instant direct message. He can't, like, send someone to look for me. He'll never know. But he says, no, because of the love that we had for one another, it must come to pass. And so what happens is, when we look at that, that's no different than God. God loves you and I so much, and that relationship that he wants with us, that covenant that he wants you and I to have with him, is rooted in the love that he has for us, the unconditional, unchanging, agape love for you and I. That's what this is founded in. That's what this is based on. And it's there for you and I. And so he sends his son Jesus to us, looking to bring us back to the Father. All humanity is offered that covenant relationship with God. It's just a matter of us believing in the virgin birth, believing in the crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, believing in the resurrection of the dead body, receiving him as Lord and Savior, understanding that when that begins to take place and we begin to move in those realms, we begin to come into a covenant relationship with God the Father. And so we see that David is releasing this type of covenant with Jonathan, and he is looking for a lineage of Jonathan. And he finds Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a mess. Let's be very honest with us. He's a mess. Anyone ever been a mess in life before? Maybe some of us are still there, right? If we're honest, we've all been a mess at one time or another. And I don't mean just a mess because we're crying because we're watching some movie on Hallmark or Disney Channel or whatever. I don't mean a mess like that. I'm talking just a mess in a lot of different areas, right? Well, Mephibosheth is a mess. He's off in this town that's known as Lodabar. Lodabar, when you look at the name of it, what it means no, a place of no pasture, barren, just a place that's not good. And if we break it down, Lodabar really is a place of loneliness, of obscurity, of disappointment, of emptiness, of barrenness, of apathy, and of rejection. And this is where he is, and he's hurting, and even his name talks about being shameful, and he's lame, and he can't get around the way that he would like to, and he's poor, he has nothing, he's a refugee living in this small hidden town, run away from the palace, and he's hiding out, and in the essence, he's really a forgotten man. Sometimes we feel that way, right? We feel forgotten. You ever feel forgotten before? God! Hey, God! God! It's me! Remember me? Hey! God! It's Mephibosheth. But what I love about it is the symbolism with David to Mephibosheth is the same with God to you and I. God, remember me? Yes, I remember you. And I love you so much right where you're at that you need to realize that my son died on the cross for you. And that he shed his blood. And in that blood, in the reception of who he is as Lord and Savior, we're going to strike a covenant. And as soon as we strike covenant, and as soon as we come into that relationship, watch what happens because there's such blessing attached to it. I remember you, son, in Lodabar. I'm sending someone to pull you out. His name is Jesus. You no longer have to eat over the garbage can, but you can sit at the table and dine with me in my presence. And that's Mephibosheth. That's where he's at. And he's found in that place. What's unique to me, though, in studying this and reading this a bunch of times and going over the various things, is it seems to me that he seemed okay about being there. That he did this, and I got to grab this. He did this. He got to Lodabar, right? I would have taken the piano stool, but I didn't want to fall off of it backwards. And he got to Lodabar and he sat down. He got comfortable. He got comfortable in the loneliness. He got comfortable in the bitterness. He got comfortable in all the ugliness of Lodabar. He got comfortable in the oppression and depression. He got comfortable in living in that lifestyle. This is what I saw out of it, because when you read it out, he's there. And he has a free will. He has a choice to get out of Lodabar. He has a choice to move to another town, another city. He has a choice to move forward. And yet, he's found in Lodabar all these years later that he's been living there under the house of Michal. And that's where they find him. He's hanging out in Lodabar. He's doing life in Lodabar. This is not good. Being comfortable and settling where we are, if it's not God's best, is not good. Because we're not living up to our full potential in every area of our lives. Here's Mephibosheth. Hey, can you grab me a sandwich? I'm hungry. Where's the remote? Do you ever get comfortable? What happens when you get comfortable? You come in and you sit down on the couch between dinner. When you get home from work and between dinner, you sit down on the couch, you put the TV on, right? What happens? And really, sometimes you don't want to get up, do you? Even though you know dinner's on the table and dinner's going to be awesome because you're starving, you're comfortable. You ask your child, can you get me a blanket? I'm kind of cold. The air conditioning's too cold. Can you get me a... We just think, listen, we got to stop. I got to stop. I had to stop being comfortable here. That is not God's best. Lodabar is not God's best. David knew it. God knew it. Because of covenant relationship, Mephibosheth was removed from Lodabar. Because of covenant relationship with God, we're removed from the Lodabar in our life. But it's in relationship. It starts there. And I love it because David really illustrates the love of the Father. Because he shows the kindness and the mercy and the spontaneity of the love that he has because of that covenant. He sends and looks for anyone in the house. And God is the same today. That he's taken the first step by sending his son Jesus Christ for you and I. See, Mephibosheth was undeserving of this love because I don't know if you know this, but ancient custom was that when the new king came in, kill the whole family prior in their lineage. Mephibosheth didn't deserve there. Sound familiar? We were alienated. We were aliens. Yet, Now hath he reconciled us to him? See, Jesus and God shows that love towards you and I. It was a love that was self-sacrificing. With David was going to give up a portion of his kingdom. David was going to give up a seat at the royal table. David was going to sacrifice some of the things that he inherited as king. Is it no different than what Jesus does for you and I and what God did? That Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for you and I? He's willing to come and die on the cross and take the sins upon and the weight upon his shoulders, that you and I could be reconciled with God in relationship and fellowship. What a great example that David shows us through the power of covenant in this example of pulling Mephibosheth from Lodabar to the rightful place. Why do we settle? Is it comfort? Is it easier to stay rather than fight and walk by faith? Is it easier to say, you know what? I'm just tired. It's hard to walk when I don't see it happening. It's hard to continue to pray when I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall. Is that some of the reasons why you and I settle here? Is it because we just feel like there's nothing better than where we're at? I don't know what it is. I think everybody's different. But I declare today that you don't have to settle. You don't have to stay in that sphere of life anymore. Because of what Jesus did and because of who Jesus was and who he is today to you and I, and because of the covenant that you and I have when we receive him as Lord and Savior, when we confess him as Lord and Savior, we have benefits. Who loves benefits? Right? When you get hired from a job, a lot of times you say, what's the benefit package? There's something attached to covenant. And those different things that are attached to the covenant relationship with God does not want or tries to not allow us to stay here. But I still can choose to reject and stay here. I said at the first service, I said, you know, everything's about choices in life. I says, we choose to get up and come to church, do we not, on Sundays? Right? We do. And that's the first step. But then when we get to the sanctuary, get to the Sunday school, and we get to where we're at, we now must choose, will I engage in the actual worship of God? It's a choice. And then from there, after choosing or not choosing to engage in worship, will I choose to fulfill what God has asked me to do by bringing my tithe and offering into the storehouse? Will I choose to be obedient to what he's saying according to his word? Will I bring the first fruits of my labor and as an honor, as a worship, as obedience unto God with a joyful, happy heart, willing to release what he has blessed me with? It's a choice. Then will I choose to hear what the word would speak to me as the speaker is speaking from the platform? Will I choose to hear it? Or will I choose to get ready to set up my fantasy football lineup in the midst of pastor's message? You all been there before. Hello. Right? Amen. Will I choose to receive it? But then once I receive the word, will I choose to allow it to activate? Will I choose to allow it to do what God had sent it to do in my life? Will I choose to step in obedience and be led by the Spirit of God, walking by faith, not by sight, not by hear, not by smell, not by whatever, but walking by faith? Will I choose to do that? Will I choose to come and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Will I choose to pray in a new tongue? Will I choose to be water baptized, to make a confession in the public of my Lord? Well, everything's a choice. It's all choice driven. God wants to pull me from here. Will I choose to go? Or will I settle and say, this is where I'm supposed to be? And God say, no, it's not. No, it's not. We're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be at the table. We're supposed to be in his presence. We're supposed to be over there. And see, David, he illustrates that love for us. And so today we must rejoice. Today we must rejoice and celebrate because restoration is at hand. Thank you, brother. Restoration is at hand. So we should rejoice. We should shout. Thank you, Lord. Restoration is at hand. Thank you, Lord, that I got 1 foot in the can and 1 foot out because you're taking me out. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm following. Celebrate. We don't have to be there. Celebrate. All of us Mephibosheths, celebrate. Celebrate. Get excited. Because restoration is at hand. We don't have to settle anymore. We don't have to settle for what someone told us we will be or who we will be. We don't have to settle for a workplace that we don't want to work at that's not provided. We don't have to settle for those things that the world is saying our children must do and should do, and if we don't do it, then this, we have to settle for what the Word of God says and go where God takes us to be. We don't have to settle anymore. Hovered around the can. Restoration is at hand. Restoration is at hand. And it's important for us that we must change. Because, you know, when we're here, when we are here, we are prime candidates for a touch of God. Think about it. We are prime candidates here in Lodabar for a touch of God. If you're lonely, you're a prime candidate. If you're feeling bitterness, you're a prime candidate. If you got anger in you, you're a prime candidate. Do you see where I'm going with this? We're prime candidates here in Lodabar for a touch of God. Let me start and encourage you today to start to posture yourself in a way, in an attitude, in a mindset of an expectation that in here, where I'm at right now, as I call upon the name of Jesus Christ because of my covenant relationship with Him, I will be touched and I will be removed from Lodabar and placed at the table of the King. I got to posture myself different. I have to have a different thinking. I have to have a different attitude. I have to surround my atmosphere with, I have to surround, my surroundings must have an atmosphere of expectation. If I am here and have no expectation of being there, I will be here. Right? I will be here. But celebrate. Because the King finds those that He searches for. Amen? See, because King David, what did he do? Go find someone from the house. He searched high and low, not even knowing, but he searched. And in the obscure little town called Lodabar, they discover Mephibosheth. In the obscure little town of Lakeview, in the obscure little town of Orchard Park, New York, in the obscure little town of Evans, New York, in the obscure little town of Hamburg, in the big city of Buffalo. Just kidding. But it's a city, but it's not real big. But in the city of Buffalo, in the hamlet of Lakeview, in the farmlands of North Collins and Eden, we will be discovered by Jesus. Whether you're in a high rise or in Lodabar, we'll be discovered. Praise God if you're in the high rise, and praise God if you're in Lodabar, because you will be discovered at either place. And see, David does that. He finds him. He takes him from Lodabar to the palace. He goes from a nobody to a somebody. He goes from a nobody to a somebody. We may think that we're nobody. No, we may be nobody in someone else's mind, in someone else's perception, because perception is reality to many people. We may be a nobody to that, but to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, you are a somebody. Not just anybody, but a somebody of importance. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, skinny or heavy, hair, no, it doesn't matter. You are a somebody in the kingdom of God. And the king is searching because he wants to pull you from Lodabar and bring you to the table. He doesn't want you settling for just anything. He wants you to be moving in what he has for you, what he wants to deposit within you. We settle for nothing but that. And so when we see David and we look at this example of restoration being released, it's such a beautiful example of what we have in God and Jesus. See, because I love it, because just like David in his expression of love, God's love and grace will find you and I where we're at. It'll find you and I where we're at. See, David said, is there any in the house of Saul that I may show kindness to? Like Mephibosheth, before we were ever aware of God's grace, he knew who we were. He knew us from the foundation of the universe. He knew us. And so he's searching. He's looking out for us. He's pursuing us. He's knocking at the door while we were yet still sinners. Right? What did Jesus do? What did God do? What I love about this is that God's love and his grace pursues us. It pursues us. It goes wherever we are. It goes with us at work. It goes with us in the neighborhood. It goes with us to church. See, the love and the mercy of God's grace pursues us. It pursued Joseph. Look what happened to Joseph. He's in the pit. He goes from the pit to the second most powerful in charge. The prodigal son is in the pig pen of life, right? And what happens there? He comes to the realization. God's love doesn't stop pursuing us. God's grace, God's mercy, God's desire for you and I to have relationship. He pursues us. David pursued Jonathan. Jesus pursues you and I. And the reach of God's love is for all. I love this because David says, is there any? Notice David didn't say, is there one? Or is there a few? He says, any. Any meaning many. Let me tell you something. Yes, Jesus would come for the one. But Jesus wouldn't come in here and say, oh, you know what? You're the pastor's wife, so you're the only one I'm going to pick. That's not how Jesus works. That's not how God works. God comes for the all. He comes for every single one of us in this auditorium today. Each and every one of us, not just this side, not just that side. The center section is the most anointed section, so we're only going to grab the center section. No, that's not how God works. David said, is there any? Is there any? So if there was more than one Mephibosheth, they all would have came to the banquet table. They all would have sat with the king. God says, is there any? Oh, yes, there is any, and there is many, and that many is humanity. And so I send my son Jesus Christ for everybody of every color, of every race, of every nation, of every tongue. I send Jesus, everybody. I want covenant relationship with all of mankind. And he pursues, 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 and he knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks. And he knocks, and he knocks. And what I love about it is that he overlooks our faults and our disabilities. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but I got some serious issues. No joke. No joke. We all do. We all got some dysfunction. Don't kid yourself. We got dysfunction. Listen, I have people drive by my house, and they're like, Elder Scott, one of our elders at church, he lives in my neighborhood, will drive by, I'll stop, rolls one down. You didn't cut your grass yet. What's wrong? I got issues. Get that tape measure out there. Quarter inch longer, we got to cut this thing. This ain't working out. What I love about God is that even though we have disabilities, even though we have faults, He still wants us. He doesn't throw us aside. He doesn't say, oh, you know what? You got this thing. I can't use you there. I can't use you. You can't be a part of this kingdom. You can't be a part. You got to sit at Lodabar. You can't come to the table because you got some things going on in your life. What I love about God is that he looks, and even with David, when they came to David, the first thing they said was, well, we found him, but he's lame. David can care less if he's lame. David can care less if there's one or a hundred. He wants to fulfill the covenant and the blessings that are attached to that covenant. And God's the same way. And he looks at us with our disabilities and looks at us with our faults and all our dysfunction. He says, that's okay. I'll do one of two things. I'll use it to glorify my son, or I'll heal him so he'll continue to glorify my son. Do you see what I'm saying? See, so we get so wrapped up in, well, God can't use me. Yes, he can. Make yourself available and let God touch you. I said that. Well, God can't use me. Yes, he can. Just let him touch you. Let him grab a hold of you as he pursues you. And watch what he will do. And he didn't leave Mephibosheth there because of the disability. He put him on the chariot and got him to the palace. And he sat him at the table. He sat him at the table because his motivation was love. It was to show grace and mercy because of covenant with Jonathan. And which takes me to this last thing. Worship team, you can come up here. Is that with restoration being released, there's a great persistence of his love. David went far and wide to find Mephibosheth. He didn't stop at the closest town. He didn't leave this town and say, well, you know, we went 2 miles and he wasn't there, so there mustn't be anybody. No, he searched high and low. He was persistent. That's what I love about God, how persistent he is. He was so persistent that on a Friday afternoon, all the way in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he touched me. He could have touched me on Daddy's front row of the church, or at that time on the back row of the church, because you snuck in because you knew you needed to be there, because that's the way it is. I wanted to be there, but he could have touched me there. He pursued me there, but you know what? I was so comfortable in Lodabar then. I loved being in Lodabar. It wasn't until the realization that Lodabar is not a place, so I got to kind of remove a little bit of Lodabar from me. But he was so persistent that he'd go all the way, he had to go 18 hours driving to find me. He knew I was there, but to pursue me and to knock and knock and knock in my dysfunction, in my faults, and kept knocking and knocking because I received Jesus as a child. And when I received Jesus, I came into covenant at Circle C Ranch, and someone gave me, they just celebrated, I don't know how many years this year. So how many? 50 years, I believe, Circle C Ranch. Someone gave me a brochure, and I was looking at it. It was there at Circle C Ranch that I came into covenant relationship with God. And that day, he wanted to pour out. Now, I chose many times to, you got Daddy, you got Mommy, you got Uncle Ray, you got everyone else at church. I love you, but I'll be this far, hands just a hand distance away. But the constant pursuit, when I chose to surrender, God, I got up in that chariot and I went to the table. And while sitting at the table, it was never perfect. Every time that maybe I messed up or made a wrong choice or decision, you know what he did? He didn't say, back to Lodabar. Back to Lodabar you go. He said, son, what are you thinking? Let me pick you up. Let me dust you off. Let me show you what went wrong and how to fix it. In the process, let me walk alongside of you. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. So when this situation arises again, you'll make the right decision. I never was kicked out of the table from that day on. And we don't have to either. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Because I believe just like Mephibosheth, today people are going to be removed from Lodabar. They're going to be removed from the place of loneliness, the place of oppression, the place of disappointment and destruction, the place of emptiness, the place of barrenness, the place of apathy and rejection. Today is a day that we begin to activate and we open ourselves up and choose to allow the blessings and the benefits of the covenant relationship that we have made with Jesus Christ to begin to start to take to start to move and start to take place in our lives. It comes down to one thing. Ready? One thing today. Choice. Choice. Will I decide today that I no longer will be there or stay there and allow God to do what he needs to do and get on his chariot and let him walk with me and do what he needs to do? Will I do that today? Because there's blessing in covenant. There's release in covenant. Will you allow God to do that? I can't make you. It's your decision. Let me share something with you. As a pastor, as a pastor's child, my father and myself could not, my father couldn't make myself and my brother follow Jesus. He couldn't force me to, he can encourage me, he can be an example and live that lifestyle that God had called him to. I could not force my son or my daughter to follow Jesus. I can't make them read their Bible. I can't make them pray. I can't make them, he's 21 years old. I can't do it. But it's a choice that they make. And today, I can't make you receive anything that God has for you. It's a choice that you would say, God, I'm all in. I'm so tired of being comfortable. I'm so tired of eating out of the garbage can of Lodabar. I'm so tired of every relationship being like one out of Lodabar. I'm so tired of everything regarding what this represents. God, I want more of you in some way, shape, or form. Whatever you have your best for me today, God, I want to be there. I don't want to settle for that. I want to settle for you. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray a prayer of impartation where you're at. I want to pray that God would restore things that the enemy stole, things that we released, decisions that we may have made that would bring all those things that need to be restored back to us. I want to pray that your journey from Lodabar to the palace is one of great change and opportunity. I want to pray for such an outpouring of Jesus in your life, if you want it. And so I'm just going to ask you real quick. It's 20 after. I just got to wrap this up. If that's you, come down here and I will pray over you right now. Is that anyone in the house that you want to go from Lodabar to anyone else? This is the step. This is the choice that we make. Anyone else, you can run down real fast. We got to wrap this message up and anyone else? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Stretch your hands forth if you're sitting in the pews this morning. Father, I thank you for all those that heeded to the call of you this morning. That, Father, they no longer want to settle for a place called Lodabar. No longer want to be a part of anything attached to Lodabar. That, Father, we stand here with our differences. We stand here with our faults, our disabilities, whatever they may be. God, we stand here before you, the King of Kings. God, we understand that with you being our Lord and Savior, that we have covenant and covenant blessing. And, Father, this day I would ask that every person, whether standing here with their hands raised high, or standing in their pews with their hands raised high, Father, that today would be their day of restoration. Today would be their day of renewal. Today would be their day of freedom. Today would be their day that, Father, you would come in and consume them in a dimension that has never been taken place before in their lives. Father, I declare today that every chain and everything that has been holding them back to be broken in the name of Jesus. We declare, devil, you must flee in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that this day health would be restored to their bodies in Jesus' name. I declare that this day, God, finances to be restored in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that this day is a day of celebration. Because Lodabar is a thing of the past, and what you're doing today is a thing of the future. Lodabar is a place of death and destruction, and today is a day and a place of life and abundance because of Jesus. Nothing other than Jesus, the Son of God, who came, has been pursuing us, who went to the cross of Calvary and died. Jesus, who was placed in a grave, but rose and sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, who promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, who we look at as wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus, our Savior. Because of Jesus and covenant with Him, today we leave Lodabar. We leave Lodabar. We walk by faith and not by sight. Father, I pray strength upon each one here today, that as they walk from this house, they have the ability to keep moving forward. Father, give them blinders on the sides of their eyes to avoid those things that would try to bring distraction. Father, bring them greater clarity of their hearing of your voice, that they can tell the difference of your voice from the voice of the world. Father, strengthen them. Father, I bless them this day. We honor you. We glorify you, God, for what you're doing and will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to leave the altars open for prayer. If you're going to the picnic, it's right over in North Evans. It's